Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Washington Commanders' most important offseason in franchise history, trying to build off of the best football season the nation's capital has seen in 30 years. As they advance to the conference championship, already have been, in my mind, the most aggressive team in the National Football League with two trades, bringing in Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil. We're not the most aggressive team in the NFL draft, but I still think built out the roster nicely with some impactful players that should and I think will start and play meaningful snaps in January, right? Stubb, we talked about that. That was the goal for this offseason, was to make upgrades, to replace the guys you lost, to re-sign your important players, and if you need to let them go, you bring in guys that you think can start and play meaningful moments on the field and snaps in January. Because the goal is, we got to get back into the postseason. Sports Illustrated posted the biggest need for the Commanders post-2025 NFL draft, and I've got some power rankings from around National Football League networks coming up here on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
So I completely disagree with Sports Illustrated and their biggest need for the Washington Commanders. They say Washington won't be a surprise team this year after the splash moves they made to improve the offensive line and receiving core. Still, Jayden Daniels could use another wide-out weapon to play behind Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin. Biggest need, still wide receiver. Then again, Daniels flourished as a rookie, making it work with what he had on the field. As for the defense, the biggest need is at edge rusher, partially because they don't have many long-term options at the position. Washington is again hoping for production from Dorrance Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell. And their other biggest need they point to is safety. I understand the edge rusher argument, and everybody makes a good point. I'm on Team Adam Peters. I think he's going to figure this out. I think it could be a Von Miller, could be a Za'Darius Smith. I think we're going to have a guy on the roster that will get 9.5, 10 sacks. And I think the defense will go from 30th to low 20s, 23, 24, because of improvements in the secondary. As much as this team struggled to stop the run and didn't have the best in the sack numbers in the National Football League, the secondary gave up too many explosive plays. The secondary gave up too many pass interference penalties. Last year started with Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes. This year is going to start with Trey Amos, Mikey Samristol, and hopefully an improved Marshawn Lattimore. So, biggest need still, edge, yes. I disagree about wide receiver, and I disagree about safety as well. How about Fox Sports? Where do they have the Commanders ranked in their post-NFL draft power rankings? At 6. I like that. At six in the National Football League. They say, I was so impressed by the value the Commanders found despite picking at the back of each round. I could be wrong, but I expect Josh Connerly Jr. and Trey Amos both to push for starting jobs. I agree. They say, I know they could use some pass rush help, but I think this team is in good shape to take a step forward. I mean, I totally agree there. We could use some pass rushing help. I don't think pass rushing was the reason this team didn't win more games last year. I think the offensive line at times was an issue. The inability to run the ball consistently, especially in short yardage down in distances, without the help of Jaden Daniels taking off himself, and the secondary giving up explosive plays. NFL.com has the Commanders ranked sixth post the NFL draft, saying, I'll understand if you want to complain about the lack of an edge rusher in this year's draft haul, but that just seems to be the way the picks went. Finally, someone with common sense speaking here. They say, I really like the Commanders' overall approach, and let's not forget how few resources they entered the weekend with. Two of their draft picks were spent to land Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel. That's a great point right there, Stubb. When talking about the 2025 draft class from now on out, I think you need to include Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, that's a draft
pick. We made five selections, and we got two more from the trades that we traded.
Yeah, I agree. And this is why teams should be weighed by the entirety of the offseason, not by each individual component. It is one whole piece.
Like, I don't want you to say the name Josh Connerly Jr. without spitting out Laremy Tunsil as well. Don't say Jalen Lane without saying Deebo Samuel. They are included in the draft class. But if you get two starters in Connerly Jr. and Trey Amos, and maybe your punt return starter in Jalen Lane, that's a massive upgrade in just one offseason. NFL.com would go on to say, Washington now has the next 3 months to figure out if there are any ways of procuring more pass rush talent. The Commanders are set up very well for the future, even if last year's Texans serve as a reminder that progress isn't always linear. So that's kind of my point here is, and they pointed to this, Commanders still have plenty of time to figure out if they want to bring in another pass rusher. I mean, there's guys that are out. Von Miller and Za'Darius Smith are the two that I keep naming, right? Shaq Barrett. We talked about the list earlier this week. They're like 10 guys that have played real meaningful snaps on good teams that are still available in free agency. So if Adam Peters decides that they don't love the guys on the roster in terms of edge rushers, hello? Yeah. We still have time to go out and sign someone. And the best part is we have the money to pay them too. We have the money to pay them too. We could pay Von Miller $18 million for 1 year of production. And hopefully it's not a swing and a miss, but we could afford to do that.
I think there's going to be a Noah Brown type situation again, but this time for edge.
Yeah.
Like someone that level of value that Adam Peters is going to scoop
up. Noah Brown, the value that he brought for a guy that was signed that late in the offseason.
That was released by another team.
Is incredible.
Yeah. That guy like basically single-handedly won us an entire game.
Yeah. I mean, he caught the Hail Mary. Yeah. The miracle on Jaden Street. The Hail Jaden. Look, the whole talk is, did the Commanders neglect edge rusher? I disagree. The way the board fell for them, it would have been a reach to go out and get an edge. Lance Newmark answered those questions, and he's the assistant GM for the Washington Commanders, and he said, it wasn't neglection. We weren't going to address edge rusher at any point. There were never any conversations of that mindset. It was, these players made the most sense for us. You certainly are always watching the board. We watched it every day. We always circle back to guys and see where they're at. Sometimes they don't want to do anything right now, but that's constant. It's on the office. It's on the wall in the office. So see it every morning. When I walk in, we talk about it literally on a daily basis. So it's not like they didn't have conversations about bringing in an edge rusher. Why didn't they draft an edge rusher? Because of the way the board worked for Washington. I mean, I love this explanation, all right? It's worth pointing out, and this is from thecommanders.com, other teams were also looking to capitalize on depth at pass rusher. Prior to the Commanders' fourth-round selection of Jalen Lane, four edge rushers went off the board. So rather than reach for an edge rusher, they took Lane, the best player on their board at the time, who could add dimensions to their offense and provide help in the return game. Best player available. That's the way a good GM approaches the NFL draft. You don't say, oh man, we have needs at these four positions. That's the only four positions we're going to draft. That's stupid. That is just every single time you're throwing a dart at a dartboard and hoping you hit. If you take the best player available, you're definitely going to be more likely to hit than reaching on a edge rusher that might not go around later because that was the biggest need for your franchise. And once again, the season doesn't start till September, so they have plenty of time to fill out the back end of the roster or make a splash move via another trade for a Trey Hendrickson or a signing of a Von Miller or a Za'Darius Smith. I don't think this defense takes a step back. I just don't think it's possible with the improvements they've made and the fact that last year the defense was not very rated very high, finished at 32nd. So, draft class, Josh Connelly Jr., Trey Amos, Jalen Lane, Kane Medrano, Ja'Cory Croskitt Merritt, Laremy Tunsil, Deebo Samuel. Put some respect on their names because the only reason they're here in Washington is because we sacrificed draft picks to bring them in here. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. I'm really excited about Josh Connelly Jr. fitting the ideal movement that we want to do with the offensive line because they had to move something when Laremy Tunsil came in. You weren't going to bring in Laremy Tunsil, your Pro Bowl left tackle, and say, hey, well, we drafted a guy last year at left tackle, so we'll move you to the right. No. You're going to start Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. You're going to move Brandon Coleman either inside or swing him to the right side. Well, they might have had conversations with Brandon Coleman, who, oh yeah, starred at TCU as a guard. He had to make the transition to left tackle. It's going to be much easier for him to move back to guard. Then you bring in Josh Connelly Jr. to play right tackle. You had to move Wiley inside. He's actually been successful as a guard inside. You had a hole there because Cosmi's not going to be ready for the start of the season. I mean, we said you killed two birds with one stone. You might have filled four positions with one draft pick with the move that they made there. So I just think that's going to fit the moves they wanted to make on the offensive line. Trey Amos fits the move they want to make with Mikey Sainra still. As much as we love the way he played as a rookie, that guy was drafted to be your nickel slot corner on the inside. Trey Amos, drafted to be on the outside. Jalen Lane fits a need in terms of special teams, and I'm very interested to watch linebacker Kane Medrano, who is a speedster, who is a very good true linebacker, who also is built like a strong safety. That's the new era of football we're seeing, where the linebackers are smaller and faster. And it's not the, you know, Brian Urlacher's of the world anymore. It's more of a Frankie Louvu linebacker. The Oren Burks's of the world, who just won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. Zach Bond's of the world. You know, skinnier, faster linebackers who can defend the tough tight ends in the National Football League. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. So we wanted to take this time right now to go around the National Football League with NFL hits offseason here on AWOD Radio.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the upcoming NFL draft. It's NFL hits on AWOD Radio.
So we wanted to talk about the most improved rosters following the 2025 NFL draft. And Pro Football Focus has their list. I'll tell you whether or not I agree or disagree. And at the top of their list, Stub, is kind of interesting. It is the team that I might have hated on more than any team in the National Football League over the last 2 years. The Carolina Panthers, according to Pro Football Focus, are the most improved roster. Defense and the help that Bryce Young needs in Tetra McMillan. I'm not going to argue against that at all. Really, I love the draft by the Carolina Panthers. They made, I believe, 8 selections. Late in the 6th round, you got Jimmy Horn Jr. out of Colorado. But you got a tight end as well in Mitchell Evans. Running back Trevor Etienne, who you guys know I talked about, I loved a lot. Thought Washington might have an interest in him in the 4th round. Of course, his brother is the starting running back for Jacksonville. And then you got 2 edge rushers. Nick Scourton, who people thought was going to go to Washington in the 2nd round, and Tendre McMillan in the 1st. Like, it's going to be hard to argue that another team had a much better NFL draft than the Carolina Panthers. They got, I think, the best wide receiver in this year's draft in Tetra McMillan in the 1st round, and then improved across the board defensively throughout the rest of the draft. I think they did a great job.
Sneaky good team this year.
Sneaky
good team this year.
I mean, 5-12 to what? I'll give them 8-9. I'm not going higher than that, though.
I think 9 or 10 is possible.
I'm still not a believer in Bryce Young.
I don't know. That end of the season, Bryce Young, yeah, he was cooking.
Let's look at the teams they faced. Cowboys, Cardinals, Bucks, and Falcons.
I mean, that's a solid, like,
that's okay.
It's not the worst teams you could face.
No, but it's not the best. I don't know. Like, they're in a division that they could win. Because I'm going to pick Atlanta to win it, and I think Tampa will be right before them. I think New Orleans is going to be awful. That's my take on New Orleans is 5-12. Get ready to have half the amount of wins next year. Second, the New England Patriots. Now, this was a team that I thought was in a very good position to trade back out of the 1st round and acquire more picks, but they had so many picks already. I'm looking at this. I believe they added 11 picks in the 2025 NFL draft. We know about their 1st round selection, Will Campbell. All right, Drake May gets his left tackle of the future, right, that he can build with. Oh, yeah, now Drake May gets his running back of the future in the backfield in the 2nd round in Travion Henderson. He gets a number 2 wide receiver in the 3rd round in Kyle Williams. They get more help on the offensive line in the 3rd round with Jared Wilson. And then the rest of the picks are pretty much defensive prospects. And another tackle late in the 7th round.
That team is in Drake May's hands at this point.
Yeah.
If he is as good as people thought he was in the draft, the Patriots could go pretty far.
And they have done a really good job setting him up for success.
They got Vrabel in there now.
I'll be honest with you, I liked Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. Then you had Travion Henderson. That's a pretty damn good backfield. Stephon Diggs was a sneaky good signing this offseason. Same with Mac Hollins, who I think is underrated. You know, everybody just talks about how he walks around barefoot, but he's a damn good wide receiver. The draft, Kyle Williams. Demario Douglas is back for another year. Kendrick Bourne. Hunter Henry at tight end. The improved offensive line. And then the whole take has to be this. Like, you've done a few pieces defensively, like Jabril Preppers, Harold Landry III, hopefully improved for Christian Gonzalez. But the defense, the idea of hiring Mike Vrabel was the idea of hiring Dan Quinn. That the mind in place can make the defense better. And I do think that Vrabel, who is a star linebacker for the Patriots, has some great defensive schemes. We saw that during his time with the Titans. And you know he's going to run the football. I think the Patriots are going to be set up for success.
Me too. I really think it is all is Drake May the prospect people think he is.
Yeah. Next up, Pro Football Focus points to the 49ers' improvements with their run defense. I'm just questioning the Brock Purdy situation there. Are they going to be able to take a step forward?
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals...
You lose Debo. You signed Brock Purdy for so much money. I just don't think they're there.
The Cardinals did a sneaky good job of improving their defense. Listen to this. First round, Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle out of Ole Miss. He went in the top 10 in a lot of mocks. They got him at 16. Second round, Will Johnson. We all talked about how he could have been a first-round pick. There was the injury trouble there that people were worried about. Then they get Jordan Burch in the third round, the edge out of Oregon. Cody Simon, the linebacker out of Ohio State in the fourth. They go back to cornerback there in the fifth and then close out with a safety. Like, the Cardinals, who have a great defensive-minded coach, just improved across the board on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, I don't like the running back situation. James Conner, Trey Benson, Amari Demarcadu. At tight end, Trey McBride was paid to be the star tight end. He had issues getting into the end zone last year. Marvin Harrison Jr., they need to take a step forward. They've got Greg Dortch, who's a Richmond product, and Michael Wilson. I just think the offense is actually going to hold them back this year still. I'm worried about Kyler. I think he might have peaked a few years ago.
Not a Kyler guy?
No.
Too busy playing Call of Duty?
Yep. Falcons improved pass rush and secondary. I felt like the Falcons were already good enough offensively. They just were so bad defensively last year that they needed to get so much better. I mean, they were giving up 25 points per game. That was 23rd in the NFL. They were top 10 offense, bottom 10 defense. Michael Penix... You feel great about Bijan and Tyler Allgeier. You feel great about Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray McLeod, Kyle Pitts taking a step forward, the offensive line. But could they get better on the defensive side of the ball? That's why most of their draft picks were defensive linemen. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910, The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The other NFL topic was Shedeur Sanders still. And, Stubb, you tell me. You heard the audio. Is it worth hearing from Mr. Albrecht, the defense coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I think you're going to find it funny.
All right. Because yesterday we talked about if that was my dad, my rear end would still be hurting, costing him $100,000. Are you kidding me? Let's take a listen.
To publicly apologize to Shedeur and Sanders' family for what occurred. Second of all, I want to publicly apologize to Mr. Blaine, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire Falcons organization. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself, and we will not be appealing the fine in any way. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this.
All right, that's enough.
Again,
the kid's 21 years old. I mean, it's not like he made a 14-year-old's mistake. He needs to be severely punished, and I'm not sure you're doing a good enough job of raising him. I mean, that's just terrible. Come on now. Breaks into your iPad and steals the number. What's going on with the Steelers? They're still waiting for Aaron Rodgers. I just got a text from a source. I'm not going to reveal my source, but he says, word is that Aaron Rodgers was in Pittsburgh yesterday. Well, there's an article from Sports Illustrated this morning that says Kirk Cousins could end Aaron Rodgers' dreams of a comeback as the Steelers are trying to move fast to replace their quarterback. Is it going to be Aaron Rodgers? Is it going to be Kirk Cousins? Who takes over the Steelers? My money's still on Rodgers.
It's too long. It's been too long for too long. I'm so sick of this.
I'm going to believe my Pittsburgh source who tells me all he does all day is listen to Chris Molesy on Pittsburgh Sports Radio. And they said that in Pittsburgh, they're saying right now that there was a meeting with Aaron Rodgers 48 hours before the draft where they said, look, you got to tell us, are you coming here or not? And then they wait to draft Will Howard late. That tells me I think Aaron Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh. I think he told them, I'm going to make my decision. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0930. 0910. Let's go to Murph in Richmond. What's up, Murph? You're on the Fan with AWOD.
AWOD. Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going good, man. We're talking about the best teams following the 2025 NFL draft. Would you like to chime in?
Yeah, I heard. I was listening earlier. I think you're spot on where, you know, Commanders might be able to get an edge free agency or another way. Didn't have to force it. I think some people are saying that. You know, like you said, you guys had a good draft. Be happy, and it'll play out how it should. I think the Cowboys actually had a good draft. I hate to say that, but they might have had to steal the draft from the ECU cornerback.
Why do you think that Cowboys draft was so good?
Well, I really like – I'm forgetting his name right
so
now.
So Siavon Revel Jr., the corner out of East Carolina in the third round?
Yeah, I think potentially, you know, if he comes back healthy, that could have been a first-round pick before he tore his ACL. So,
see, here's the thing about the Dallas draft, and you brought this up, Murph, so you're giving me the opportunity to crush the Cowboys, which I love to do. You're never going to tell me they won the NFL draft when they selected a guard at number 12 overall in the first round. How many positions are more important than guard in the National Football League? Quarterback, wide receiver, running back, edge rusher, defensive tackle, safety, cornerback, middle linebacker, left tackle, center. All more important than guard. That's the loser pick of the NFL draft. They also selected two running backs. Jaden Blue of Texas is good. And then your seventh rounder, Phil Maffa, I think is even better. You just drafted two running backs that are going to compete with each other and Rico Dowdle? I kind of think they botched the draft, to be honest with you. Donovan Ezeraku fell out of the first round for a reason. Fell into Jerry's lap for a reason. He's not that good. Went to Boston College, Murph. When was the last time they had a good NFL product?
You know, that's a good point. When I saw Boston College, I kind of thought the same thing. Like, wait a minute, I have to even play football up there. But while I have you, I wanted to talk about May 14th. I think it's the schedule release. I saw the Jaguars. Commanders going to Jacksonville. I had an idea. If it's Thursday night in Jacksonville, what if we drive down and invade the Bud Light party zone, baby? Take the Burgundy Gold down to Jackson Beach, and we show them what's up. Let's go.
I've never been to Jacksonville, Murph. Have you been to Jacksonville?
I went to a Titans-Jags game, and it was hype. I got to be honest. The Bud Light beers are flying. Girls,
so what is the Bud Light zone? Is that like the swimming pool area?
I think the pool's a part of it, but it's just like a big party area with tables, games, food. It's in the south end zone, and it's just a wild out party. People taking shirts off. I mean,
whoa!
It could be a first down. It could be a punt. And
Stubb, you hear that?
Is he selling you here?
Are you telling me it's like a rave? What is this?
I mean, kind of. Yeah,
you gotta make Jacksonville games fun.
Just like Spring Breakers.
Yeah, right.
It feels like Spring Break. Even the older guys are, you know, doing the hula. Hopefully it's not a 1 p.m. kickoff. It's Thursday night. I'll see you there, baby.
All right. Hey, we could talk about this. That sounds like a miserable drive, though, from Richmond down to Jacksonville.
You got to go past south of the border.
That is a good place to stop.
I got the road trip planned.
Yeah, right? And we got Buc-ee's. We'll get Buc-ee's.
Oh, yeah.
Get some barbecue.
Hell yeah.
All right, Murph.
That's right.
I appreciate you chiming in. We'll keep your number handy in case we make a Jacksonville trip happen.
Hey, May 14th, I'll be ready, baby.
All right, that is the 2025 NFL schedule release date. Still funny to me that they stopped the NFL draft to give us the release date in which on that date they will then release the schedule.
There are like seven people that get excited for that. Yeah. And two of them are in this room.
Get excited for May 14th?
Videos.
I think you're sleeping on how many people get excited for May 14th.
I mean, I do.
I think that's... I mean, like, if you're a Browns fan, that's your Super Bowl, right? I mean, that's the best thing you got for you. So if you're a Giants fan...
You're a Titans fan. They make funny videos.
Titans fans are fired up now. I mean, I had Titans fans actually DMing me the video of Warren Moon shaking hands with Cam Ward, and they're like, are you ready for Titans to start dominating
again? Who's he throwing the ball to?
Yeah, I mean,
Calvin Ridley even still on that team?
That out. They still have to figure that part out. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with all things NBA on the Fast Break with AWOD. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Last night, the 2025 Lake Show experiment failed as the Lakers were eliminated in round one of the 2025 NBA postseason at home. At home, Crypto.com Arena, by Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. But it was not Anthony Edwards or Julius Randle who led the T-Wolves in points. It was the French shot blocker himself, Rudy Gobert. 27 points, 24 rebounds, an incredible double-double from Gobert gives the T-Wolves the win, and they advance with a 4-1 series victory over the Lakers. That is the lead story as we head out on the Fast Break with AWOD, talking all things NBA.
Let's go. Let's play some basketball here.
We're going on a Fast Break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the Fast Break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
Stub, I, Adam Epstein, Michael Jordan lover, Space Jam enthusiast, will dunk on LeBron James anytime I get a chance to, and the Lakers lose at home Game 5 to lose the series to the Timberwolves. And statistically, the box score plus minus shows you, statistically, who is the worst player on the court. Statistically, with a minus 14 on the plus minus on the box score, LeBron James was the worst player on the court. Played 40 minutes, didn't sit out, 9 of 21 from the field, 1 of 5 from three-point range, even an awful 50% 3 of 6 from the free throw line, as LeBron and the Lakers go home in round one to the Minnesota Timberwolves. LeBron, minus 14 when he's on the court. Take LeBron out, you might win that game. Now, I'm not being serious here, but it shows you that LeBron tried here, but he was just not effective. And Luka Doncic shooting 2 of 8 from the three-point line is not going to help them. But really, I told you guys, this came down to defense. And I said if the Lakers are going to win this game, they need to hold the Timberwolves to about 25 first-quarter points. Right? And you need to hold them below 100 for the game. Because the only series win they have in this series, they held the T-Wolves to 85 points. Well, they scored 103, and they gave up 31 in the first quarter. And when I was watching the first quarter last night, that's all I was thinking. The Lakers are not going to be able to come from behind. That's not their team. That's not the way they were built this year with the star power. They're so top-heavy. LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves. They need to play with a lead, and then you hope they can close out in the fourth quarter with just their superstars showing up. But when Luka scores 28, LeBron scores 22... All right, that's 50 points right there. But you only scored 96 of it as a team. You didn't get enough other contributors. Again, it came down to the bench production being awful. So, T-Wolves advance. My dream of Lakers-Celtics crushed. I don't know why I even supported the Lakers. Now I can officially go back to hating LeBron, hating the Lakers, and everything that's going on there in the state of California. Last night saw a really good game between the Rockets and the Warriors. Amen Thompson, 25 points, 5 steals. He was all over the court defensively, helping the Rockets get a victory, 131-116. It now goes back to Golden State, where you believe they have to close out the series. I don't see Golden State winning a game 7 in Houston. They got to take advantage of the fact that it is at the Chase Center Friday night, 9 p.m. on ESPN, for the Warriors' chance to close out that series. 2 games tonight, 1 in the East, 1 in the West. Both are Game 6s. Crucial Game 6s. Knicks in Detroit, Nuggets in LA against the Clippers. I will pick the Knicks to close out that series over the Pistons. I just think Pistons aren't there yet. I mean, Michael's talking about it. They won 14 games last year. You won 44 games this year. Congratulations. Incredible regular season. But you're not ready for some postseason success. The Knicks are, after their massive run last year. And they've really been building around Jalen Brunson with Tom Thibodeau as the head coach. So I think Karl Anthony Towns has a bounce-back game. Knicks win, end the Pistons season tonight. Nuggets, Clippers, I think L.A. forces a game seven. They're at home. They've gotten a decent performance from Kawhi Leonard in this series. James Harden is the one that needs to step up. And James Harden has had some awful, really has had some awful playoff games in his past. That's he's the guy that kind of has no-showed in several playoff series before. This one, he started strong. 32 points game one, 18 in game two, 20 in game three. Awful shooting in game four, 15 points. Even worse shooting, 33% from the field in game five, 11 points. He's going to need 25-plus for the Clippers to win tonight. I feel so confident about that. If the Clippers are going to win, and I'm predicting them too, it's James Harden bouncing back and having a spectacular game. Kawhi Leonard, he's Mr. Consistency for them, but they still could use him to explode like he did in game two with 39 points. Since then, he's averaged 22. You know, I mean, this is a guy that, when he's healthy, should be at 28, 29 points. He's a star in the NBA. And so James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, if they step up and play to the level that they can, they will force a game seven. For Denver, if Jamal Murray has another 40-point performance, they'll probably win this game. He's just, it's so weird. He's got the most 40-point performances in Denver playoff history, and yet it feels like he barely does that ever in the 82-game regular season each year. So these NBA playoffs have been fun to watch. It will be interesting to see how the ratings are affected by Minnesota into the second round over the LA Lakers into the second round. But it's going to be really heating up in the Eastern Conference with Boston advancing, Indiana advancing, Cleveland cruising past Miami, and then we'll see how this Pistons-Knicks series gets decided. We know game one for the Eastern Conference semifinals, Pacers-Cavs, will be played on Sunday afternoon. We could also have a game seven on Sunday with Warriors-Rockets. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. But I was wondering if we'd be lost for, you know, TV in terms of the sports world here. Would I be solely focused on Major League Baseball? But I do think the NBA playoffs have delivered in the first round, and it should get even better moving forward. And LeBron sucks, and I can get back to being a hater of him. All is right in my world. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, J.J. Redick stormed off of his press conference last night, 1-2-3 Cancun, after the Lakers lose Game 5 at home and lose the series 4-1 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. General manager for the Lakers, Rob Pelinka, said, quote, "I think LeBron is going to have high expectations for the roster, and we're going to do whatever we can to meet them." Meanwhile, Anthony Edwards for the Minnesota Timberwolves stubbed. He did one of the coolest things ever, I thought, after the game. He took a victory lap around Crypto.com Staples Center. He took a victory lap around the arena. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Normally, the road team just gets on a plane and goes home. But he had his posse with him. He was, you know, fans were hounding him. And one fan shouted a question towards him. And I think they were saying something like, "Yeah, man, you just murdered LeBron and the Lakers. And, you know, is your favorite movie Boys in the Hood and all the killing and that?" And Anthony Edwards Stubb goes, "No, that's not my favorite movie. My favorite movie is Matilda."
Oh, great pick, great pick.
It just cracked me up. It threw me off completely. Anthony Edwards is our sports and movie crossover because he was the character Kermit Wiltz in one of my favorite Adam Sandler sports movies, Hustle, that came out a few years ago. Kermit Wiltz was played by Anthony Edwards, and he was making life a living hell for Bo Cruz. Did that to Luka Doncic in this series. But Anthony Edwards says his favorite movie is Matilda. Love that. It's time to go around all Hollywood and entertainment here with Netflix on AWOD Radio.
Netflix, the best of streaming services, TV, movies, books, podcasts, and more. We've got you covered on Netflix.
So, Stubb, there's like a lot of things that I need to catch up on. I did get caught up on The Last of Us Season 2. And the thing happened.
The thing happened.
The thing happened.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it coming, but I feel like I should have. Not because I played the video game, but because of the way Episode 1 was kind of portrayed, that I should have known something big was going to happen in Episode 2. And so you have played the game, Stubb?
I played the first one, and I watched people play the second one.
Okay, so you understand the way the direction of Season 2 is supposed to go.
Yes, I do.
Is it basically going to be... I don't even remember what the girl's name is. Ellie? What's her name?
Yeah, Ellie.
Okay, is it going to be Ellie just chasing after the people that killed Pedro Pascal?
And spoiler?
I mean, come on, it came out three weeks ago.
Spoiler!
Now. Is it just going to be her? It's a video game, Stubb. You just told me that.
Yeah.
Is it going to be just her just basically going
it's
after
a revenge. It's a revenge story.
That I can sign up
for. That's what it is.
That's what I can sign up for.
I will say that I mean, I guess we've already said it. Killing Joel is one of the most controversial decisions in video game discourse history.
Really?
People were mad about it. There were...
So in the video game, do you just use her and a different character then?
Yeah.
Because is it a two-player video game?
No, it's always a one-player game.
It's always one player, but you're using two characters?
I mean, in the first one, you're basically just playing Joel and Ellie follows you everywhere.
Oh, okay, okay.
And
okay.
I think this one's kind of like a similar one. But sometimes Ellie's alone. I think sometimes her girlfriend is with her.
Okay.
Kind of that.
Yeah. She got a girlfriend in season two.
Yeah, she did.
She was running for her life too much to do that in season one. So I need to catch up on that. I mean, I did catch up on that. I need to catch up on Daredevil: Born Again,
which I finished.
Yes.
I think it's great. I think it's super great. The ending left me wanting a little bit more.
Okay.
It's not as good as the first three seasons, but those are 10 out of 10s. This is like a 7.5, 8 out of 10.
Okay. I'm excited to. I've seen the first episode. There's other TV shows that I need to catch up on as well. There's just almost too much going on.
It's good. I'm actually watching shows.
Yeah.
Even. Because I watch that. I'm watching The Studio. I'm watching Severance now.
Yes. And The Studio is so interesting because it's kind of Seth Rogen making fun of Hollywood.
It is. I adore it. Okay. I think it's they're shot so well for a TV show. I think the jazz is fun. Like, it's a good score.
I got to look this up.
For a show.
But I almost feel like there has to be a crossover in terms of the showrunner, the producer, or the director between this and The Bear. I think it's very much shot the same. Where you're like, and you're paying attention. There's always a score going on to kind of make you think.
It's jazz. Like it reminds me so much of Birdman.
Okay.
Where everything feels like it's one shot, and the jazz is accompanying it the whole time.
That's
and it's
kind
changing
of
as
what
the scene goes.
The Bear is, but for cooking,
and a little more intense.
Yeah,
Studio is kind of more comedy. I think The Bear, to my knowledge, is a little bit more drama.
Episode 2 gets pretty intense of The Studio. with him like falling all over the place. So,
but that one's all one take.
That one's,
well, I don't know if it's one take or if it's the
that's how they're trying to
take.
Convince you it is. But the cast is great. Seth Rogen,
Ike Barinholtz
is fantastic.
Catherine O'Hara.
Hahn's great. There's all these other, you know, celebrity guests as well.
Everyone's great in it.
It's a good show. And
Anthony Mackie was great. Ron Howard was fantastic.
I'm a little worried that this is like an HBO show that, or an Apple TV Plus show that they could pull the plug after one season, because it feels like it's probably expensive to make.
It feels really expensive.
Yeah.
And Apple TV Plus shows, almost all of them are not profitable.
Really?
That's what I heard, is that they're losing money on these. They just want to make them, mm-hmm. and Apple just has so much money otherwise.
Because they're making money from iPhones.
Yeah,
right?
They're putting so much money, and not that many people have Apple TV Plus, but they're making like some of the best like they might have the best original streaming selection of any.
I mean,
platform.
When you talk about Ted Lasso, it's been gone for a while, but people in America fell in love with it. Then, for me, the next one was Severance.
All
right. But people also loved, I think it was The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston.
Shrinking.
Oh, people are obsessed with that.
Yeah, people are obsessed with The Studio. They are on an unbelievable roll of making
now,
good things.
Now, they also have a lot of TV shows that people are not watching. Right? Like,
is anybody
watching Silo? It pops up every time I turn on Apple TV Plus.
They had like a Godzilla show. For a sec, like Monarch of Monsters or something like that.
My mom has been talking about Your Friends and Neighbors, which is their new John Hamm show.
I have been hearing about that.
I've been hearing
that's
very good. But in terms of Apple TV Plus production, it feels like it's Ted Lasso, Severance, The Studio, and The Morning Show.
And Shrinking.
But I'm not sure if they're actually producing Shrinking themselves.
No? Oh, okay. I thought that was them.
For some reason, I thought that somebody told me that was like a Showtime show that Apple bought. Or something, but I could be wrong there. Any movie news?
Stuff? I do have some news. Here's a name. Here's a company name you haven't heard in a while, probably. MoviePass.
Yeah.
MoviePass is trying out something different. They're gonna make a fantasy app, like a fantasy sports app, but for film. So you can draft films, directors, and actors, and how well they do in the box office is how well your team does.
That's not a bad idea. Now, I don't know how you would get many people to sign up for that. Explain to me Letterboxd, right? Because you use that.
Oh, I mean, that's
do
just...
you actually share that with people, or is that like a personal thing?
I gave out my username on here forever ago.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Like when you are talking movies with your friends, do you pull out your Letterboxd?
Yeah, if someone asks for a recommendation, I sort like my films by what I've highly rated, what I've looked at recently.
I mean, all
of my friends have it, so I will post something or they will post something and I'll text them, oh, I saw that, what'd you think?
I need to use it because trusting my brain isn't working much anymore.
No, it's so nice.
It's so tough. My buddy Kevin asked me the other day, yo, you're my movie guy. You seen anything good recently? And I was struggling.
And people ask me that. And I look, and this is like my diary here of the last month of movies I've watched and when I watched them and what I rated them. So I can always recommend
stuff to
people.
I just need to get in the habit of finish a movie, take out my damn phone, and open
it instantly.
Because it's probably so simple.
It is really simple.
I've seen a million movies.
It's my favorite thing. I'm at 89 on the year.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. How many books?
Two.
Really?
Yeah.
Anything
you'd
recommend?
One was really long. Yeah, I read a book called Live from New York, 750 pages, and it's the entire history, well, at least the 40 years of history of Saturday Night Live, told through a compilation of interview clips. So there's not really any like authoring. There's no writing. It's just interview clips consecutively to tell the full picture of 40 years of SNL.
Okay.
It's fantastic. Honestly, it's the best book I've ever read. I'm a really big fan. If you like SNL.
A lot of people in the last 10 years don't like SNL.
Well, there's no... it doesn't cover the last 10 years.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. If you missed any Hollywood or entertainment news, you can always chime in. 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. I want to talk Belichick and Jordan Hudson, but I don't think that's like really Netflix. And also, maybe I shouldn't give out my
Hollywood
opinion on that.
Hollywood and entertainment, that's what the tagline is. That feels pretty Hollywood.
I mean, what she's done is incredible. I'll just read the headline from the New York Post, all right, which is the producer's Bible here. How Jordan Hudson, 23 years old, amassed $8 million real estate portfolio within months of meeting Bill Belichick. How did she do it? I feel like I don't need to read the damn article to tell you.
I have an idea.
But I'm going to save my opinion for myself. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.